Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer back at it again. Appreciate you guys tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. We got a lot to talk about on today's episode. Some news on Mercedes Lewis signing back with the Bears, why that's a good thing. Also, got to look at Kyler Gordon talking about the goal that this defense has coming into the season that he believes will lead them to being a top defense. And why? I mean, listen, I love goals, but we may be setting them a little bit too low in my mind. We'll talk about that. And of course, got to talk about the biggest questions heading into training camp as we have this now nice long break until the Bears players report back at Halas. All that more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that five-star view. Y'all know what to do. Today's episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80-94. Drop a bar down in the comments for me if you haven't done so already, because we got a former Chicago Bear coming back. I guess never really was former, became a free agent. He's back in the building. Mercedes Lewis signing a one-year deal for the Chicago Bears. And this is exciting news to me. This to me is news that you want to hear because it's prioritizing continuing to keep veteran leadership in the building. This is interesting to me on multiple facets of the conversation, because on one end, right, are you sitting there bringing back a tight end who's an elite pass catcher? Not anymore, right? Mercedes Lewis, I think his best pass catching days are behind him, and we're not surprised by that. He's coming into his 19th season, which is very, very impressive. But last season, according to PFF, he was still a top five run blocker in the NFL last season. He was somebody who you could put out there on either the side of Braxton Jones or on the side of Darnell Wright and see some really, really good production out of him as far as a blocker. You add in the fact that DeAndre Swift is already in the building, and so now you're getting, okay, we want to open things up for him, we want to be able to utilize his speed. Like, I think the fact that you're keeping Mercedes Lewis around, you're doing your team a vast service. You're putting them into a, okay, listen, we're going to reward guys that do good. And on top of that, we're going to reward the guys who have been able to go out there and have really good careers to this point by, we're going to give you an extra blocker. We're going to give you somebody else who can go out there and open things up for you. We know that there's some concerns on this offensive line. Having somebody like Mercedes Lewis out here, I think will be an asset for the Chicago Bears. But let's not get carried away with all of that, right? Because Mercedes Lewis was on the field for 29% of the snaps last season. It's not like he was out there every single play. It's not like he was always on the offensive line. It's not like he was your go-to guy. There's still going to be a ton of Cole Kmet usage. There's still going to be a ton of Gerald Everett usage as far as the tight ends in this room. But I believe that you have to put your team in a position to where they feel there's somebody on the team that can bridge that gap that's naturally there between coaches and players. There's always going to be that, okay, while we're all together in this, it is still the coaches are over there, the players are over here. You've now got a 19-year veteran who essentially can be that player coach on the team, can be that voice of reason, can be that when things get tense, when things get tough, when you're like, yo, I don't really know what I'm doing here. I got to figure this out because my game is really taking a turn here. This guy's been through all of the ups and downs that a season can throw at you in multiple ways. You know what I mean? So the fact that you're bringing him back, I think really speaks to you wanting to have that veteran presence with the amount of young guys that you have in the building. I love that. I love that because to me, those are the teams that go out there and they're successful. The teams that have the good mix. Of course, you want the young team that's going to be great for 10 years to come. And I think the Bears do have that. But you also want to have those guys that have figured it out already on the team. And yeah, you've got Keenan Allen, you've got DJ Moore. DJ Moore seems more of a lead by actions than by words kind of guy. Keenan Allen, probably a very vocal guy, but you've got pieces on this team that are going to be good leaders. Kevin Byard on the defensive side of things, right? But then you look on the flip side of that, and you just want to have that guy that everybody in the locker room can say, yo, I got to get this out. I got to get this off my chest. I got to figure this out because something I'm doing is not going well, or even that guy where things are going perfectly, but you got to have that guy in the locker room where you're going, listen, hey, I love how everything that you're doing, but let's remain focused. We got to understand what the final goal is. Mercedes Lewis is a guy who has been through all of the ups and downs that the NFL can throw at him. I love the fact that the Chicago Bears brought him back and re-signed him. I think that that's going to help the team tremendously from a morale standpoint. I think it's going to help the team tremendously from a voice in the locker room standpoint. And I know that this is a, listen, you're paying them on another 1 year deal. I'll be honest with you. I would expect to see Mercedes Lewis get at least one more. I think at this point, you might as well go for year 20, my boy. Yeah, I mean, be one of those few players that's made it to year 20 and be one of those leaders in the locker room that can transition into one of those leaders on the field as well. And I love the fact that he's here. Let me know you guys' thoughts in the comments below. Do you like the signing of Mercedes Lewis? Do you feel like he is a guy who's going to help this Bears team? Maybe more so from a vocal point than from a on the field perspective, but at a minimum, right? At least we're signing the vocal guy that still can give you production on the field. I do like that as well. You know what I mean? Like so many times when you see signings like this, it's like, well, we really want him to be like a leader or a teacher, and you're like, well, what if you got to put him out there? We'll never do that. Mercedes Lewis is still playing. Right. Mercedes Lewis caught a touchdown last year. He's still right out there run blocking, right? Like he's still playing football. So the fact that I think you have that in your locker room, I'm in favor of the re-signing. Let me know you guys' thoughts. Appreciate you guys tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below on the Mercedes Lewis signing. I think that really good news there. Something else that was interesting was we heard this last week. Kyler Gordon kind of talked about, you know, what the Bears' goals are this year, 20 interceptions, 20 fumbles this season. That would give the Bears 40 takeaways, which would essentially, if this was 2023, put them as the best defense in the NFL as far as takeaways go, which I love. I think that that's a goal that you really, when you look at this team, that's a goal to me that you want to set the highest of highs on, right? The only thing that every time we hear about one of these goals, this is the only thing that I think, though. Why are we setting goals that limit ourselves? And I say that in the sense of, think about last season. The goal for Justin Fields coming back at the end of the year was 200, two touchdowns, zero interceptions, zero fumbles. How many times did Justin meet that goal? It was a few times. When he actually came back, he was able to meet the goal, right? And there were some games where he didn't, but for the most part, right, he was able to meet the goal. But he didn't get the win. And I feel like when you throw these goals in front of certain players, they focus on the goal. They bulldog in on the goal. And again, 40 turnovers is a great goal for this Chicago Bears team to have. I would love to see this Bears team come out of this season with 40 turnovers. But to me, I'm a big believer in shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you land in the stars. Set the goal at something astronomical. Set the goal at 55 turnovers for the season. Last season, Cleveland Browns finished the season 37 turnovers last year. Phenomenal defense, basically carries them to the playoffs. They're able to go out there and be very, very successful. But I think that you absolutely have to, right? You want to be better than that. But you absolutely, to me, have to set your goals high enough that even if you miss your goal, you land in a really good spot. And I think that's something that the Bears really fail to do. And it's funny because I feel like they're a team that meets the goal really well. And I guess you want to have that sense of accomplishment. You want to have that sense of we did what the coach asked us to do. But to me, I think that when you set a goal that is meetable, right? If the Bears are going to be the defense that we believe they're going to be, I think 40 turnovers is a meetable goal. I think it's something that this defense can accomplish. I think they can be one of the best defenses in the NFL, if not the best defense. But the thing that I really want to see them be is the best defense that gets the wins at the end of the game. That's, to me, what the goal needs to be set on. The goal, to me, of course, the turnovers are going to help at being that best defense in the NFL. It's going to help you find a way to get wins. But we saw those moments last year where, okay, this is our goal. This is what we want to get to. And why? What is it? It's just enough. If we get there, we've done just enough to put ourselves in a position to win. I want this Bears team's goals to be all based around, all right, you know what? If we go out here and we get the 40 turnovers in the season, we're going to be one of the best defenses in the NFL. But how about we talk about making them timely turnovers? How about we talk about making them last 2 minute turnovers? Can we set our goals as I want to see 15 turnovers in the last 2 minutes of a game? You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And I'm not saying that that hasn't happened, but it seems like every time we hear about these goals, the Bears find a way to meet the goal, but it doesn't register in the win that you need for the goal to matter. I want our goals to matter this season. And so, yes, go out there, become the best takeaway defense in the NFL, dominate day in and day out. But to me, the goals need to be about the timing of it a little bit more than maybe just the takeaways themselves. And listen, we saw Bears defense last season at the end of the year that was getting takeaways. We saw Bears defense last season at the end of the year that was finding a way to put the offense in good positions. And we also saw Bears defense at the end of the year that walked out of that building as the losers because there wasn't enough done on both ends. And I think that, to me, is what I really want to see this Bears team focus in on, especially coming into this preseason, especially coming into the beginning of this season, because I think the defense is ready to go. The defense is hyped. They're moving. They've got a lot of excitement. They understand the system. They understand where they're supposed to be. They understand how they're supposed to attack. I think all of those things really play into what this defense can end up being. But you also have to look at this team as a you also have to look at this defense, I should say, as the product that can put the team in position, but maybe can't finish it off. Because that's what we saw last year with what the offense was producing. Now, I'm not saying the offense doesn't have to step up this season. It does. It 110% does. You got to have more offense this year. And maybe having a defense that played like it did last season with an offense that is actually producing more, you'll get to those wins. But the goals to me are all based around the stat lines and not the W's. And I want to see more based around the W's. And I understand a great stat line can lead to a great W, but how many great stat lines did we finish out the season or finish out a game with last year? We're going, how the heck did the Bears lose this? At least three games where we're sitting there going, there's no way we can lose this game. And in the last 2 minutes of a game, we find a way to lose it. So yes, get the 40 interceptions. Give me 15 of them in a very timely fashion. Whatever your touchdown record is, get the touchdown record, or whatever your touchdown goal is, I should say, get the touchdown goal, but get the touchdown goal at the moment that it matters most. That's what I want to see this Bears team do this year. Love the 2020 goal. Love how you're going out there and you're really trying to, you know, set your sights as if we accomplish this based on last year, we're the best team in the NFL, best defense in the NFL. But is that going to get you the wins that you need? Is that going to put you in the right position in the moments at the end of games where I saw Matt Eberflus coach himself into a loss, essentially, three times? Is that going to get you there? Where I saw Luke Getsy coach himself into a loss, is that going to get you the answers that you're looking for there? That's my thing. That's my only takeaway when I hear this. Don't set the goal so high that it's like, yo, we missed our goal by 10. Dang it. This sucks. I hate that we missed our goal. And then somebody walks in and goes, hey, you know, your goal was 55. You got 45 takeaways this year. Maybe that's just me. That's how I, you know, my philosophy goes in life. You know, you aim for the moon. If you miss, you land in the stars. And so I think that's the one thing that I want to see the Bears do. The goals should be big. And I mean, listen, you often wonder with some of the construction of this team, not that the team has been put together poorly, but it's a little bit backwards when you look at, you addressed your DBs, you addressed your linebackers, you really still haven't addressed the guy opposite Montez Sweat here who could create that pressure opposite Montez Sweat. So what is the belief around this team? What is the thought process around this team? What is the mind? Do you believe that you can go to the Super Bowl? And I understand. Here's the biggest thing. There's a second round pick here that I don't believe will be here by the end of the year. So maybe you're still adding to this team during the season. But I just want to see the goals at the end of the day being the W's. The stats are going to come. How many players say that? How many players talk about that? If you focus on what you got to do your job the right way to get the wins, the stats are going to come. We can be a team that has phenomenal stats. How many teams in the playoffs last year had phenomenal stats? The goddamn Cowboys have phenomenal regular season stats. The Cowboys, based on the regular season, are one of the greatest football teams. They couldn't get out of the first round. They couldn't fight their way past the Packers. So I love the stats. I love the goals. I love the individual stuff. Don't focus on that, D'Amato. Focus on the dubs. How do you get to the dubs? Guess what? If you're doing your job the right way as a DB or as a linebacker, if you're doing your job the right way, that's going to lead you to wins, footballs are going to end up in your hands. If you're doing the job the right way, that's going to lead you to wins. You're going to be punching at the football. That's going to lead to fumbles. That's going to get you to the numbers that you want to walk away in this season with. But I often wonder, are we setting our goals high enough, or are we setting our goals to stay paid? Because the goal to me is a W. I don't care how we get it. You think if we had beaten the Packers in that last game of the season last year, and we find a way to beat the Cleveland Browns, and all of a sudden we're sitting there trying to sneak in as a wild card into the playoffs, that we'd be upset no matter how we got it? You know what I mean? Yeah, there's some development that has to come. There's some growth that has to come. You got to figure things out off of that. But when the game starts, you got to go. And I don't care if you finish the game with three interceptions and two fumbles. If by the end of the game, which we saw last season, the Bears finishing out winning the turnover battle, I believe three times last year, and they left with a loss. Focus on the dubs. Don't focus on the numbers. The numbers will come if you get the dubs. That's what I want to see this Bears team do this season. Go out there and get 40 interceptions. Go out there and get 50 interceptions, but let's focus on the dubs. Hey, appreciate y'all, man, tuning in. We're going to keep this thing moving along. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Think that this is a very interesting day as far as the football season getting here, because there's a lot of questions on this team that I think you really got to look at as we head into training camp. And we're going to bring in our resident producer, Eric Ostrowski, to throw some questions back and forth that we've got on this team heading into training camp in this 6-week period.
I mean, so we'll start with the first and most obvious question is, so we got 6 weeks, the players, this is where they all disappear for 6 weeks from the end of minicamp to the start of training camp. What did Caleb get better at?
Ooh, from the end of minicamp to the start of training camp.
At this point, he needs to be making progression at every step of the route. So yeah. By day one of training camp, we need to see X fixed.
I would say, and I think, I know we've said this a million times. To me, that's the cadence. To me, that's the conversation around the cadence, right? That is the get everybody in the building, have everybody understand. And it's harder to do when you don't have all your teammates there. But we saw so many false starts and just slow progressions that ended up turning to turnovers. That because of Caleb not, or the offensive line and Caleb not being on the same page with where he is with the cadence right now. To me, I think that's the most important part of this. That if you get that down, so many things start to go in your favor and you'll start to see your offensive line click. So I think that's the biggest thing that I'd like to see by the time we get to training camp, him have locked down. Outside of that, I mean, listen, we saw a lot of good out of Caleb. There's not a lot that I saw out of Caleb where I was like, ah, I don't like that. I don't think that there's going to be I don't think he's going to be able to hit the ground running with that. That's going to take some more time to get to. There's some things that are, that a rookie quarterback just has to go to, and you can't go through, and you can't replicate that in training camp or preseason. But I would say if you and your offensive line are on the same page for the most part, you're going to be better than most teams on the other side. So I would like to see them have that locked down by the time training camp gets here.
And I think it's realistic for the cadence. That's something he can work on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? While he's on whatever he's doing for these 6 weeks, he's not in with these guys. That is a rhythm and something he can get sorted and figured out. The next question, obviously, interior the offensive line, but I, for me, it's really interior. I think we know the answers on the corners. We know it's going to be Braxton and Darnell Wright. The interior, even Nate Davis, to me, is a question mark. So, like, the, from guard to center, we don't know the situation at all.
And I think Nate Davis is the biggest question mark. I think that that is something that has to be answered. And I'll be honest with you, I need Flus to answer this. What's the right way to say it? I need Flus to answer this as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. With a legitimate answer. Sir, if you're not going to be on the field practicing, I'm giving your spot to somebody else. Because what you're doing is, and Nate Davis is the biggest question, what you're doing at this point is basically saying, oh, well, you know, Nate, it's okay that you don't practice and you'll be out there Monday through Friday, even though we've got this other guy standing in your spot. And Darnell Wright's more used to him than he is used to you. And Ryan Bates is more used to him than he is used to you. But on Sundays, that's okay. You're going to be out there. Like, that's not acceptable to me. That's not acceptable to me. So once you, if you figure the Nate Davis question out, if he's out there practicing and he's not hurt and he's not dealing with stuff, then you know, I'm fine with him being out there, but I'm sorry if we get to training camp and we're still having the same question, I need Flus to kind of, you know, beard up on this one. You know what I mean? Like, I need you to let Nate Davis know, son, if you're not out there practicing, we can't put you out on the field on Sundays. And that's the bottom line. And if you don't like that, we can find somewhere else for you to be.
That might get us some answers. All right. So another question is, it may not is, you could base it around just workload in general. So, like, how is the ball going to be distributed with the three good running backs, the three good wideouts, and the two good tight ends? So that's something that we have to wait and see for training camp. So that's the next burning question.
Yeah, I would say that that's probably the one that is going to be the most interesting to see. Keenan Allen missed a little bit of time, ended up coming there for mandatory minicamp. You know, all the stuff that was voluntary, it is what it is. But I think that that gave DJ Moore a real safety blanket kind of feeling for Caleb, right? And same as with Justin last year, where the guys that he's working with, he's going to be comfortable finding and getting them the ball. Now, is Keenan Allen work his way more into that mix? Is he going to be kind of a safety blanket for Caleb? Who's going to be the big hit? I think that Rome has spent a lot of time getting downfield in mini camp and OTAs and stuff like that. So I think that is going to be a very interesting question to kind of see. And Keenan and DJ keep laughing about it, right? What is the turnover, or what is the race to 1,000, right? The race to 1,000 this season. Who's going to get there? Are they both going to get there? Which a race would imply that hopefully, right, both of them make it. But how do you get them both there? There's one ball, and there's a lot of players on this team.
It's a tough question. It'll be hard to see. The next thing I wanted to get to is – I lost my spot here. Okay, so new safety. Nobody really knows much about Kevin Byard. So, in general, the secondary was a strength of this team last year. With the addition of Byard, will they be – better than they were last year?
100%. 100%. It makes them, and Jaquan and Kevin have both talked about this, it makes them more versatile as a defense. It makes you be able to disguise plays a lot better. You knew what Bojack was. Bojack was trying to get the football and go the other direction, right? He's not tackling. He's not going to lay a big hit. More times than not, he's going to miss on a big hit, right? And so, those are just the weeks that he's out there. I think what it does now is, right, last season, when Bojack was out there, it felt like at times he was a liability. And then when he wasn't out there, you were kind of like, okay, Jaquan's kind of settling in a little bit more. But I think adding Kevin Byard into the mix, like, that he's the player to me that is a major, major linchpin on this defense because it allows Jaquan to play free and strong. And he's somebody who can do both, and we really haven't seen him get the opportunity to do both here in Chicago. I think this does take this DB. I've said that this is the best DB unit in the NFL, in my opinion. I don't think there's a better DB unit in the NFL.
And I think with the natural progression of last year's rookie in Tyreek Stevenson into this year, that's good. Like, that's good. He's naturally going to make that secondary even better because he's just going to progress.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Staying on the defensive side of the ball, it's that three technique. Is everything that we want to see. Is Gervon Dexter going to be that guy? I think camp may give us that idea. But until then, it is a question.
I'll say this about Gervon, and it's very tough. Again, it's very tough on two fronts when you're there. One, I don't know if Ryan Bates can play center. It's 150 snaps. I don't know if he can play center. So if Gervon Dexter's winning, it could be, Ryan Bates isn't good. So we got to see that first. We got to figure that part out when they actually get pads on. But what I can say that I've seen from Gervon Dexter is he's exploding off of the ball quickly. He is, like Henry Melton said when we had him on, right? He's reacting. He's just going. He's not thinking about it anymore. He understands where he's supposed to be. I think there is going to be a step from Gervon Dexter. I think camp is going to be a great spot to see that. And he just looks comfortable in this defense in his second year in the league. And I think that this could be I think we have our answer at three technique, but of course we got to wait and see until realistically the season gets here. But seeing how much he slimmed down, how lean he looks, how much he was able to attack, I think that was that was surprising to me coming into camp, seeing how much skinnier, or not even skinnier, how much leaner he was and how much quicker he was. I think he's going to be a monster this year.
I think it was interesting when Henry Melton, who played that position, was talking about how he played running back in college and how Lovey and those, like, they looked for those slim guys at that position. And he's like, that's why we don't last, because it's in the middle of the line and they look at us to be small, leaner dudes and we get our asses beat all day. But I think that's what Dexter was kind of shaping his body into. Now let's see if that can happen on the field.
That's what's tough too, right? Because even like when he even brought up, like, you think about how amazing Aaron Donald is. Aaron Donald is a 9-year player. He's not a 15-year player. He's like he got beat up. He got tired. You know what I mean? Like 111 sacks for Aaron Donald though in that time. But it's a 9-year career. That is a very dominant 9 years. But it's not, you know, the 15-year careers that we see out of other guys. And very rarely do you see guys get that. Even look at a guy who's still out there like Calais Campbell. The reason he's still in the league at, what is this year, 16 for him or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is because he spent most of his time as an edge. And he was like, I can move to the interior. I can play inside, outside. But most of his time on the field is spent as an edge. So I think that was very eye-opening when I saw that. Because in my mind, I'm like, Henry Melton's career was kind of cut short, but then you start to look around and it's like, nah, I guess not really. Like, this is kind of how three techniques are in the league.
Right. I thought that was cool. I thought that was some cool insight. Who the hell is going to be on the other side? Who's going to book at Montez Sweat, man? Like, at this point, D-Walk, like, I'm not happy about this.
I'm not going to lie to you. It's tough. Maybe I'm being too optimistic. Maybe I'm being an optimistic Bears fan on this and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I would assume you're going out to try and re-sign Yannick Ngakoue, but there's a price point on that you're probably not willing to budge on. I don't know if Calais Campbell is real. I don't expect him to be a Chicago Bear by the end of this year, but I do think that it is very, to me at least, it's very interesting that DeMarcus Walker was the perfect other guy in Tennessee. And maybe that's what the Bears are betting on here. Can he get back to being the other guy opposite Montez? And I'm not mad at it, because here's my thing. Would I love to see the Bears go out there and get 30 sacks? Sure. Like, let's find the guys that could go out there and get 30 sacks and dominate. A lot of edge rushers coming out next season in the draft, by the way. But can we say that Montez Sweat and D-Walk can force enough pressure that that DB unit shines like the best DB unit in the NFL? That I think we can say. But again, the biggest difference in all of this, D-Walk takes the step or gets back to that level. I believe he was 7 sacks when we signed him. He gets back to that level based on if Javon Dexter's good. If Javon Dexter's good, other guys are that much better.
I'm curious what Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus think the ceiling of this team is. Because yeah. I think that position and how they fill it tells you what they think. Because I don't think Ngakoue means that they think this is a Super Bowl team. I don't think sticking with D-Walk thinks that they really think that they're going to make a long playoff push. Like, I think what they do in that position is going to be a sign of what they think this team can be.
It'll be interesting to see. I don't disagree with you that maybe they're going to have to show me a little something, but I also think, right, we've done this every year, right? Since Ryan Poles has been here, we come into every season. We go, what the heck are you going to do at that position? You've added nothing. How are you going to make something play? And then there's a magical second round pick that disappears halfway through the season and somebody's standing across there. He's 1 for 1. He's 1 for 2. Can he go 2 for 3? Like, I think that plays into it as well. There's going to be some disgruntled right edge that's going to be out there.
Now, there's no doubt. I got one more quick question. So it's more based around DJ Moore and the money and all these wideouts getting paid. There's some rumors. I have no idea if there's facts, but the DJ Moore's crew reached out to the Bears just to start the conversation, saying no rush, but let's start the conversation. So do you expect this to start bubbling up more and more as the summer gets going and everything?
I don't see. Here's what's tough with DJ. I don't know what would bubble up, because, like, I guess, what do you mean by bubble up? What do you mean by, do you expect like there's going to be more pressure? Like, he's going to become disgruntled?
Yeah, I guess with anything, and I guess him as a man doesn't seem like, no matter what's going on off the field, he's going to bring himself into the clubhouse every day. But I just think, is this become something that is brought up week in and week out at Hallis Hall?
Now, that may be the case. Now, DJ can't control, because that was my thing, right? Like, when I hear you say, like, bubble up, I'm like, DJ's not going to do anything. Like, I don't know if you saw the video the other day where, or maybe it was the day, he's like, who you got in the finals? And, like, he's walking off the field, he's like, I don't care. I mean, like, DJ's playing football, going home, being with his kids, coming back to play football. Like, that's what's going on here. So, like, I don't think that DJ is concerned about it. Plus, he knows the numbers that he can put up, how dominant he can be. I think he knows he's more of a long-term option here than maybe Keenan Allen is as well, but you're not worried about that. But do I think that everybody sitting in that media room every day, you'll hear one question on whenever DJ Moore is there on, hey, DJ, you know, your contract's still out there. What are your thoughts on it? Yeah, 100%. I think that they'll try that it'll be something that is tried to get to be a conversation. And I don't think DJ will fuel any, will put any gas on the fire to me. I think that DJ knows he's here to stay, and it's going to be him and Roma Dunze for a little while here.
Cool. That's all I got for questions that I want answered during camp. I don't know if you got more.
Not really. My biggest question heading into camp, I guess, is really, you know, well, we did kind of bring this up. How does Shane Waldron utilize this offense?
I was actually like, what is this offensive identity going to be? I don't even have a guess. Like, I don't.
Because it was interesting talking with Yurk last week or 2 weeks ago when he was talking about, you know, how out of whack do you think the pass to run will be? And in my mind, I think we're letting the football fly. I don't think that we're going to be running the football much at all this season. I think you're going to talk about 34-35% run, maybe, you know what I mean? And that's not good. But I think that changes the Bears' history and offensive identity of, like, we're going to be a ground and pound team in the middle of winter, and then, you know, we're not really throwing the football when you see other teams doing that. Yeah, Pat Mahomes is putting up, what do you put up in that playoff game versus Miami? Freaking 280 or 290 yards and 3 touchdowns
right,
and
right.
A blizzard. I mean, teams are throwing the football in the snow. It's not 1956 anymore. So I do wonder if he's going to kind of bring us into that modern offensive era with all the weapons that he has available to him. But he had a lot of weapons in Seattle.
So. Right. Different type weapons. Different. I mean, I'm just what this offense is basically, what's their base package going to be? I'm curious. I'm very excited to see what's.
I am intrigued to see it. That's
something we may not be able to figure out, like identity wise, until say week three or four or something like that. But I'm just curious on what the DNA of this offense is going to be.
It'll be interesting to see. I think that that's going to be that's what everyone's watching for. There's no question about it. Like we love the defense. Of course, we want to see the defense. I love that the defense is settling into the system. But we've seen defenses. It's time to see some offense on this field on a Sunday through Sunday basis. Not a like, every now and then we got a defense that shows its face, or an offense that shows its face and puts the defense over the top. But usually, 11 points will do. Like I'm tired of those days. But hey, we appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Eric Ostrowski, who's right here down here. It's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. You guys let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.